Well, I may be a day late, and I may be a dollar short, but I'm still grateful to God. Find out why next on Principles and Policies. Hello, this is Chuck Michaelis. I'm your host here on Principles and Policies. It's good to be with you here. Much going on, and you may have noticed I haven't created a new show in several weeks, and there are a number of reasons for that. This is part of my gratitude to God. We're getting into a situation. We'll talk about this in a little bit. But before we get started, this is our show for Saturday, December 9th, 2023. I'm very glad to be here among you. Many things have happened in the last month, and the reasons I haven't been online and on the show. And I'll give you a little rundown on that. But first, I want to invite you to an event. On December the 10th, my church, Providence Presbyterian Church, in Pataskala, Ohio, 7095 Summit Road, in Pataskala, we are having our annual Lessons and Carols service. Now, what is that? Lessons and Carols. It is a service where men in the church read passages from the Bible, have prophetic messages, New Testament messages, messages from the Gospels, for the Advent. It's all about the Advent, and we sing Christmas carols, and we discuss, you know, we talk about what the carols mean. So it's a Lessons and Carol service. It's always a wonderful service. I mean, it's always a wonderful service. And we're going to be broadcasting it live as well. And if you can't be with us, I would invite you to watch it live on YouTube. You can get to the YouTube podcast the same way you can watch our Sunday morning live morning service at providenceopc.us. That's providenceopc.us. And there is a link to the live broadcast of the Lessons and Carols. But we really like you to come in person, because just like a church service, you can be with us, but it's not exactly the same as being there among the saints worshiping God. But it's a good way to deal with it if you find that you just simply cannot make it. But we invite you, please, please, please come and be with us and celebrate the advent of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, his birth. And we look forward to seeing you there. And if not, we look forward to seeing on our watch count that there are people online watching our little broadcast. Now, when is it? It's Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock. Sunday at 5. That's our evening service time, 5 o'clock. We run 5 to 6. Again, Sunday, December 10th at 5 o'clock, Providence Presbyterian Church, 7095 Summit Road in Pataskala, Ohio. Very easy to find, just off Broad Street. We're back about a quarter of a mile. Oh, we're not. Are we even a quarter of a mile? It's not that far. You can see it from Broad and Summit. So please come out. And if you can't come out, tune in. providenceopc.us. Okay. Now, for the I want to go into some of the reasons that I have not done a show. This is not so you go, oh, poor Chuck. It's been so horrible for him. Boo-hoo. Oh, I don't want you to do that, because that's not the attitude I'm adopting over these issues at all. I'm deeply grateful to God for all that he has given me. And what do I mean by that? Well, God has been very kind, very good, very generous to us. And he has given us these trials to sort of, I think, to awaken our gratitude to him, and to see what kind of a countenance we will adopt on these things. Okay. Well, many of you will know some of what went on. If you ever listened to Mike O'Reilly's Talk of the Town, I was a guest on Talk of the Town on November. Hang on. Look at the calendar real quick. These dates have all run together. I was on Talk of the Town on November the 16th. And you may have heard my interview with Mike. If not, I will we'll be talking about some of the same things. by the way, Mike has me on every third Thursday of the month for Talk of the Town, and I appreciate that. And Mike and I always have a good time to talk, and we always end up saying, "I wish we had more time," both of us. And Mike's a very good interviewer. So, yeah, Mike O'Reilly, Mike, thanks for your interviews. And, one of these days I've talked about doing a show once a month where Mike comes on and just asks me questions for an hour, because he does a very good job, and we always fill the hour up and we always discuss things. So again, Talk of the Town, I'm on every third Thursday, but he does it, He has a regular schedule for Talk of the Town on his morning program there on WLRY. And for those on the podcast, well, when I post these shows, you should be able to go to WLRY.org. You may be able to find that. You can listen to it live there if you're outside the broadcast area, WLRY.org. And you can listen to it live. Or he may put those up. I don't know. I'll have to go out and look really closely. But in any case, I want to go through the litany of things that have gone on, and to show you why I've had to be away from the broadcast, Mike. No, not my choice. I'm sort of forced into a situation that I didn't want to be in. All right. On November the 8th, that's a Wednesday, middle of the night, 3 a.m., I begin to hear my mother-in-law calling for us. Now, my mother-in-law lives with Jenny and I, my wife and I. She has an apartment, down in our basement, a nice little place that, she's lived in now for, oh gosh, we bought in, 7 years. She's been there over 6 years. She really likes it down there. And it's a nice little apartment, about 750 square feet, a great little place for her. And, one of the reasons we bought this property was because it had a mother-in-law suite downstairs, full kitchen, a shower, bathroom, shower, little bedroom area, little place where she can put a desk and sit and study if she wants to. She doesn't do that anymore. She sits in her easy chair. And I don't blame her for that. If I was 87, almost 88, I would also sit in my easy chair. But in any case, in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., I hear Janet calling for my wife. Jenny, Jenny, Jenny. And I heard it first. So I went rushing downstairs knowing that it couldn't be good at 3 a.m. And sure enough, she'd gotten up to go to the bathroom and wouldn't use her walker, which she should have been using her walker. She was not. She didn't want to use her walker. And so what happened? She fell. And she fell hard. And I mean really hard. She fell hard. And so she was calling for us to come help. Well, we get down there. I went down first. Jenny came down. And she's laying on the floor. Just beyond her bed. And she's going like, I've done something bad. And I said, okay, so you fell. Yes. I start trying to assess the situation as much as you can in the middle of the night. It's really not that easy. We start checking the symptoms and we tried to get it. We pulled her up onto the bed and she was in tremendous pain. Tremendous pain. So this middle of the night, finally, we have to call the ambulance. We have to call 911. We were going to try to put her in the car, and I go, we do not have the ability to pick this woman up. She's not big. She weighs about 145 pounds. But I said, we do not have the ability to pick this woman up and get her in the car. So we need to call the ambulance. So we called the ambulance, and shout out to the Granville fire department who I live in McKean Township, which is north of Granville. Our contracted, McKean Township doesn't have fire or emergency. So our contracted it depends on what part of the township you live in. You're either with Newton Township or you're with Granville. Well, we're in the Granville, side. And so Granville fire came and picked her up and took her to the hospital. And Jenny, following as closely behind as she could, took her to the emergency room and they went through and evaluated her and admitted her to the hospital, put her in a room and all that. And well, it turns out that she had fallen and broken her pelvis. You know, a lot of people, there was an assumption that she'd broken her hip. A lot of people, you know, break their hip. And a fall, and a lot of people, that's the first assumption. Well, the emergency techs had checked her out, and well, no, her hip doesn't seem to be broken. And turns out they did the work and again, shout out to the Granville Fire Department, because they were able to get her on a gurney and get her out of there and get her to the hospital. But the hospital finds out, they do the MRI and everything. Janet had broken her pelvis. And now I've done that before, not the same way by any stretch of the imagination. 40 some years ago, I think 42, 43 years ago, I was in a automobile accident where I broke my pelvis, but I broke something different. I broke my what's called the acetabulum. It's the ball socket. And how did I do it? I was in a head-on collision because a drunk driver came left to center and smashed into me full speed, and I was going full speed. When your knees hit the dashboard, you tend to break things, and I broke lots of things. I'm grateful for God's intervention in that, because all three people in those vehicles should have been killed, but we were not. No one was killed. I was in the hospital and in a hospital bed at home for 3 months, 3-4 months. Nonetheless, so Janet has broken her pelvis, and where she's broken it is on the floor of the pelvis. So it's where a whole bunch of nerves go through, a whole bunch of muscles attach. So any movement she does with that leg is deeply painful. So Janet is in the hospital, and she's in there for well. She went in and was in from November the 8th. She was admitted until, I think, November the 13th. So Jenny and I are traipsing back and forth and back and forth and back and forth from Licking Memorial Hospital, who did a wonderful job taking care of her. And we start looking for a rehab facility, and it turned out that Janet was eligible for a very good rehab facility inside the hospital. They don't take just anybody, but it's a very good rehab facility. You know, we were all sweating that. My wife was worrying terribly about that, and I was trying to comfort her and all that. So we got her into this rehab facility in Newark Hospital. And she was in there for about 10, 11 days. Well, that's shorter than they thought. Now, why did they let her out? They let her out on the 22nd. And why did they let her out on the 22nd? When was Thanksgiving this year? It was the 23rd. And she was progressing so well. We're deeply grateful to God for the progress that she showed. Now, she didn't like being in the hospital. So she was being very good and doing all, they warned her right up front. If you refuse to do the exercises, if you don't eat, if you, because she's diabetic and you don't do these things, then we are going to throw you out of this program and you're going to have to go to a different rehab facility. They didn't say this, but I joked with her. I said, yeah, if you're a slacker, they'll send you to a rehab facility for slackers. And actually that kind of motivated her a little bit. She wanted to get home. She wanted to get to her own little bed, her own little apartment. So in the meantime, I told you this happened on the, on November the 8th. And she got home on the 22nd. So, it was 14 days in the hospital. Well, in the meantime, on November the 15th, and if you listen to Mike O'Reilly's show on the 16th, you will have heard this story. On November the 15th, I was cleaning out, wood stoves and putting things in, dumping old ashes and that kind of thing. And it turns out that we had some coals that were still hot in this galvanized bucket that we put ashes in. And I thought they were cool. I dug around, it didn't feel like there were any hot ones, so I dumped it on our compost pile. Well, 20 minutes later, I hear a kaboom, and I thought my wife was slamming doors for some reason. Again, this is November 15th. And I come outside and my compost pile is burned to the ground. And my woodshed, I have a woodshed, or had a woodshed, that had 3.5 to 3.75 cords of wood for the winter in it. In other words, that was my winter heat supply. Not totally. We have propane here, but I have no desire to go bankrupt buying propane at $2.90 a gallon. So we do supplemental heat here with wood. You know, the old story about wood heats you more than once. It heats you once when you cut it, once when you stack it, once when you unstack it, and then again when you burn it. So, they say you get heated. Some people say you heat up twice. No, you heat up four times. Because, the cutting, splitting, stacking, unstacking, and you could even put a fifth in there. Unstacking and then putting it in the fireplace. So, in any case, this left me with no wood at all. I had stuff down on the ground and a couple of pieces I hadn't split yet, but what burned up as well in my with my woodshed was my wood splitter. I had a lovely little wood splitter that I bought 6 years ago. Worked really, really, really well. I kept it, you know, you do the proper maintenance, they run. Keep them covered. Keep, you know, put decent gasoline. By the way, folks, always put ethanol-free gasoline in your small engines. Just a word of advice. But in any case, so I had nothing. So I had to get to work to get some of the stuff that I had on the ground here cut and undercover so it could dry. All right, so that's November the 15th. That was devastating. My wife and I, by the way, again, shout outs to fire departments. We had three fire departments here that came. We raided three fire departments. We were kind of laughing about that. And I said, well, we held a little reunion for all the firefighters in the local area. Let's see, we had Granville. Granville came up because, again, as I explained earlier, they are our contract fire department. But we also got Newton Township and Newark Township. We're close enough to all of them that, you know, they needed additional water because we're on a well here and they can't just hook up to a hydrant. So they brought a pumper truck up. Meantime, I'm out there fighting it with a garden hose and two fire extinguishers, which was a little bit like, you know, trying to bail the Titanic with a 2 gallon bucket. It didn't work. I tried to save everything I could and I tried to stop some of the side fires and that kind of thing. But the fire department came out and got it out in pretty short order. Probably took about an hour. And then in the middle of the night on the, I told you it happened on the 15th, I had to get up at 3 a.m. and go out and put out a hot spot with a garden hose. There was a hot spot. They warned me there would be. They said, you need to dump water on it every couple of hours. You know, well, we went to bed at midnight and I'd gone out and dumped water. Well, I get up at 3 a.m. and my wife says, get out here. There's another fire out here. So we put out a hot spot at 3 a.m. Okay. Again, that's part of the, that is basically why, all this stuff going on is why I was so busy. Normally I record on Thursday or Friday morning. And, you know, obviously we're doing this on Friday morning. Well, it may not be obvious to you, but we are. In any case, we do this on Thursday afternoon or Friday morning, and I was just swamped. I'm trying to find wood. I'm talking to people. This is one thing I want to, the new wood gathering had started, and we were working on it, and the outpouring of charity from people we know, even people we don't really know, people united to, can you come out and take some of the wood off our property? Oh, yes, I can. And I haven't done that yet, and I will get to that. One of the things that has delayed us. So we began to gather wood and try to get some organization into this. I'm still solving wood storage problems here because when you've got a covered woodshed and you don't have one anymore, you got to come up with something else quick, in which we have. It just takes a little bit of money and a little bit of time, and we're grateful to God for that. But we had many, many outpourings of wood, offers of wood and that kind of thing, and we are so grateful for that. Boy, Christians really step up and help out with that kind of stuff. And our brothers and sisters and just people we know, that kind of thing. My neighbors have always let me cut wood on their property, and they said, yeah, you're more than welcome to come over and cut up our remnant laying on the ground and all the dead wood standing and that kind of thing. So we're deeply grateful for that. But so Thanksgiving week, my brother-in-law comes up to help me cut and split wood. And by the way, he loved my new splitter. he used to, cut wood and split wood to sell firewood, just as a kind of a hobby sideline. So He and I ran the, we had trouble with the chainsaw. We got that all fixed. And so he ran the chainsaw for a while. And then I said, let me run the chainsaw, the back work, and you go split. So he went up and split. Oh, he loved the splitter. My brand new splitter that I had to go buy. We were able to find one at a good price, brand new from Rural King. So in any case, so I go home after the prayer meeting, and my wife is not feeling well. She's got the same symptoms. My mother-in-law's not feeling well back home. She's been home for 2 days. She's got the same symptoms. So Jenny insists. Jenny insists, and she does this. She insists that we take a COVID test. And we had some at home. So we take a COVID test. Well, guess what? All three of us positive. So here I had been at a prayer meeting and those kinds of things. So I warned everyone. I called everybody, or I sent an email and said, hey, look, I've just discovered that this cold isn't a cold. Now, one of the reasons why didn't I record on that previous weekend? Actually, there's a very, very good reason. Now, again, this was on the 29th that I discovered this. There was a good reason. When I told you that I started having symptoms on like the 23rd, 24th, well, I lost my voice. Couldn't talk. You may still hear it in my voice. I have not completely recovered everything. Now, my COVID is long gone. At least according to the tests that I've been taking, the COVID's long gone. And you'll hear some blank spots in here where I have to go through and clear throat and that kind of thing. I do my best to mark those so that you don't hear them, and I cut them out. But in any case, I had lost my voice, and I couldn't talk for more than a minute or two. I actually on Sunday, because I knew on as of the 29th, on Sunday the 3rd, I had to stay away from church. Now I still went out and worked, but. The only reason I didn't go to church, normally when I've got a cold, I go to church. I don't skip out on that unless I'm feeling really crummy. But I skipped out because, you know, I had this positive, this COVID positive thing. And, so I had no voice, and since I'm an elder, I do reading, I do scripture reading. We have every Sunday we have a scripture reading. It was my Sunday to read. Well, I couldn't read because, A, my voice was shot. I couldn't do it. So that kind of wiped out that week. So here we are. I think the last time I recorded was in November for the show for November the 4th. So all those weeks I was unable to do that. And so here we are for the show for the 9th, and I'm finally recording again. We were all quite ill. Not really quite ill. I mean, it felt like a heavy cold. And ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you that this Omicron variant, which is probably what we had, and as near as I can tell from my reading, is a paper tiger unless you're already ill. Even my mother-in-law, who is, you know, 87 years old and just got out of the hospital, which is, by the way, where we probably got this from. People were like, who were you in contact with that had, where did you pick up COVID? Are you kidding? My mother-in-law was in the hospital from November the 8th through November the 22nd. Where do you suppose I picked it up from? I picked it up in the hospital. And my wife the same. And Janet the same. Jenny was like, oh, you gave it to me. And I'm like, no, I didn't. We got it in the hospital. And she goes, yeah, we did. But she was giving me a hard time, which she does, which I deserve. But in any case, I'm basically recovered enough that I can record now. Now, my sister-in-law had come in on 11/26. Why? She wanted to see her mom. So she came in, and we get this confirmation that we've got COVID on the 29th. And she goes home, let's see, on December the 2nd, 1st or 2nd. Well, she goes home and she gets COVID. So, you know, I was still having major voice trouble. And that's where we are. That's why we're where we are. Now, why have I taken a half an hour to lay this all out? Well, my whole point in all this is to talk about gratitude. And since we've just had, you know, I'm a day late and a dollar short, but I'm still grateful to God as we opened the show. Well, you know, there's a passage in Job, and if you're having any suffering, and look, I am not by any stretch of the imagination, I am not comparing myself to the situation in Job. Job lost everything. He lost his home. He lost his family. He lost his livestock. He lost everything. He had nothing. He only had his wife left, and she was giving him some really, really bad advice. Curse God and die. Well, Job recognized that as mere desperation on her part. It's frustration. Sometimes we say things when we're frustrated or when we're angry or when we're or under extreme duress or in times of deep, deep grief, sadness. We say things that we don't really mean, although... you know, as a Presbyterian, I believe in total depravity. Total depravity doesn't mean you are as depraved as you can possibly be. It means in all parts of your being are depraved. The story I tell is that total depravity is every part of your being. You're talking about utter depravity. And even, you know, I always say even Hitler and Stalin loved their mothers. And that's not the same thing. So, but we say things, and we say things to God that are nothing short, really, of blasphemous sometimes. And we need to take a look at Job, who has lost everything, absolutely everything. Everyone else is sort of cursing the Lord or telling him to curse the Lord. And the fact is, he says in Job 13:15, though he slay me, I will hope in him, yet I will argue my ways to his face. Now, some translations have other kind of strange, I think, interpretations of that, though this is the King James Version. Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. What does that mean? Is that the same thing? And I don't think it is. But in any case, Job is still revering God as God, and the one in control, and yet he is saying, no matter what he does to me, I will praise him. Now, he's also saying, I want to plead my case directly before him. And then Job's helpers come in and, of course, give him all this really awful advice. And sometimes what the beauty of the book of Job, and if you haven't read it in a while, go back and read it. It's not that long a read. Open your mind and read it. And look at the commentaries, because the commentaries are very important, because they'll tell you the same thing. Basically, the commentaries will tell you that, yes, it sounds like some of the advice that Job's friends, quote-unquote, are giving him, but the fact is, and they lay it out, Here's why it's awful. That's why you really need to read Job with a comma, because you may look at it and say, well, that's not necessarily bad advice. Yeah, it is. Because, and even God steps in, finally. God steps in and talks directly to Job. And Job tries to plead his case before God, and God becomes, and if you think sarcasm isn't in the Bible, the book of Job is, especially God's speeches, is replete with sarcasm. Where were you when I set the foundations of the world? Where were you when I did this? Where were you when I did that? Can you do this? Can you do that? All these things that only God can do. And he says, and meanwhile, here you are questioning me. Well, that did not sit well with God. And what at the end, what does Job do? He repents and he says, God, you are right. I have done these things. I have no right to question you in what you do. Now, in other places, we know that God has things for us to do, right? Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. This is an important look. Now, who's he talking to in this passage? He's talking to the exiles who have been hauled off to a foreign land, who are in a place, their future is completely uncertain. They've lost their fortunes. In many cases, their children have been taken away from them. They're basically being treated as slaves. And what does God say? Well, this is in the book of Jeremiah. This is the word of God through Jeremiah. And this is, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Does God have that for everyone? Does God have a plan for everyone? Yes, he does. Everyone's life has a plan. As a Presbyterian, as a Reformed thinker, do I think that I can go against God's plans? Well, no. I can try, but if I do, then that was in God's plan to start with. My rebellion is in God's plan. We're not going to go too far into that. And that's a discussion for another day. Barry and I used to discuss these things all the time. We'll come back to that. But he's speaking directly to the exiles. And when he says, I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future, he's telling them that they will prosper. Now, does that mean they're going to prosper tomorrow or even the end of the day today? No. Does that mean it's going to happen in 6 months? Not necessarily. When's it going to happen? It may not happen to your generation. It may not happen for quite some time. Remember, if you remember your biblical history, some of the groups got hauled off and were told flat out that it will be 70 years before you return to the land. And read Ezra and Nehemiah especially, and you'll get that flavor. And then there are some other prophets, some of the minors, who talk about the time frames. You didn't take your Sabbaths like you were supposed to. And therefore you're going to get them while you're in exile. The land is going to have its Sabbath, and you are going to have your Sabbath in exile. Okay. So Job, who has basically been dropped to nothing, is now in repentance. And what does God do? God returns him to prosperity. Does he get his children who are dead back? No. What does he get instead? He gets more children. Now, that's difficult for us to think about, because you always remember, if you lose a child, and I have not, and I praise the Lord for that. If you lose a child, you never forget that child. Now, I'm speaking from people I know whose lives were devastated by the loss of a child, and they never fully recovered. Never fully. The child is always in the back of the mind, and you can't really ever get them out. But the joy of more children, another family, another fortune, another house. Job probably didn't live in a house. He lived in a tent. He had, storage buildings and that kind of thing at the time. People lived in, don't live the same. We tend to think about people in the Bible living in a house like we. They didn't live in a house like we live in. They lived in not anywhere near the luxury. Even poor families live in more luxury in some ways than they do in the Bible. But they had very luxurious lifestyles in those tents. And read the description of Job's existence in his dwelling. They feasted, and what did Job do? He went out. He was a very godly man. He went out and performed a sacrifice for his children in case they had done something to blaspheme God. He did sacrifice for them. So he was acting in the role of a priest. That doesn't say that Job was a priest. Nonetheless, he felt the need to make atonement for his children. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a very beautiful thing. But I started thinking about some of this gratefulness. Why am I grateful when I've had all these problems? Burning down my woodshed. Why am I grateful for that? I'm grateful for the outpouring of love and charity shown by people in my church, outside my church, peripherally connected to my church, other people who have helped me out a great deal. Why am I grateful for my mother-in-law falling? I'm not grateful for my mother-in-law falling, but I'm grateful that we've been able to gather family around us and to deal with her illness and the things, the recovery that she has to go through. My wife and I are fully aware that this probably means nothing will ever be quite the same again. Now, she could get around pretty well. We would try to get her out of the house from time to time, that kind of thing. And now the only reason she goes out is to go to a doctor's appointment. Now, we try to get her to come out and take her to dinner and that kind of thing. She's become a little reclusive down there in her little apartment. And part of that has to do with the COVID pandemic from, 20 till 22, the end of 22-23. People got just stopped getting together and broke old habits of socialization and that kind of thing. And we're still recovering from that. We have a local restaurant that my wife and I like to eat in. They've gone to kiosk ordering. And you're in there eating essentially by yourself, which is sad because they have really good hamburgers. I liked having people come to the table and take the order. And now you order from a kiosk and it's very sterile. It's very corporate. And that's one of the consequences we've gone through. Restaurants and other businesses are running with fewer personnel. Why? We're not in good economic times at all, despite all the propaganda to the contrary about how wonderful it is and how They fixed all the problems of the previous administration, which is all drivel. So when they do get people, when they do hire people, they're transient in the job. For some reason, the most current generation of young people don't like to work. Well, nobody really likes to work. We learn that work is an important part of us, an important thing that we do and we have to do to get money. Well, during the pandemic, what was happening? People were getting free money. You would just get a check from the government. Now, who doesn't like that? Well, I didn't like it because I knew I could see what was going to happen. And what was going to happen is what happened. What has happened. And that is people have gotten used to free money. Remember that the Joe Biden tried to buy votes by giving, forgiving college debt. And that's exactly what that was. That was a cynical attempt to buy votes. Folks, you can't set up a welfare state like that. There have been places in Europe who have tried to set up welfare states like that. How do they do? Maggie Thatcher had a perfect quote. Socialism works until you run out of other people's money. And that's what's happened. There are places like Sweden. Everybody points to Sweden. Oh, socialist economy. It works really well. They've been dismantling their welfare state for years. Nobody talks about it. And why did they do that? Because they can't afford it. It can't be done. And it doesn't work. Because people stop working. Listen, I'm in an economic dire straits right now. Am I grateful for it? Yes. Why? Because I'm 66 years old and I'll be 67 in February. It's really time for me to think about slowing down. And I can't slow down while I own my own business. So what am I doing about it? I'm trying to sell my business and take a job as a consultant with the people who buy my business so I can work part-time and start taking my pension. Now, am I one of these decrepit guys who's all stooped over? No, I don't feel 66, almost 67. I look it because I have white hair. I've had white hair since I was in my 50s, early 50s. And I've been graying since I was about 17 years old. So, hair wise, it's a family trait. I've always looked older than I am. Nonetheless, I'm in pretty good shape, partly because I have to cut wood, cut and stack wood, as we talked about earlier. But am I grateful to God for that? Yes. Am I grateful for my health? Yes. I'm grateful for this automobile accident I talked about earlier that I survived that I shouldn't have, even though I was broken to pieces. And do I still suffer from some of that? Yeah, sure. Am I grateful for it? Yes, it's a reminder of God's grace and goodness. Every time I have a twinge in my hip from my broken hip, it reminds me that God is good, God is kind, God is gracious. Now, would I rather it went away? Of course. And do I do my best to keep those pains under control? Of course. I don't walk around and suffer. I'm not a flagellant. If you don't know what those are, in the Middle Ages, they had monks who would go about beating themselves, groaning and whipping themselves with whips made out of cord and with stones and steel pieces and that kind of thing. And they'd bloody their backs and they'd go around and make this big display. I don't want to do that. And there's no need for that. No, the best thing for me to do Now, I'm letting you in on this, and I'm not asking for your sympathy. I'm asking you to look at your own life, examine what is happening with you, and going possibly from a kind of an Eeyore attitude, oh no, poor pitiful me. You know, should you be grateful if you've lost a job? Well, it's hard to do. It's really hard to do, and I'm not going to tell you that when I've lost jobs, I've been deeply grateful. But it's always turned into something better. And in retrospect, I am grateful. But only in retrospect. I understand if you've lost a job, if you've lost a child, if you've lost a marriage, if you've been in an automobile accident and the car that you loved is destroyed. I get it, because all those things have happened to me, and God knew that he was going to put you in that situation. Now, why did he put you in that situation? Well, hopefully so you can see his greatness, his goodness, his kindness, his mercy. It may not feel like it. It may not feel good. But thinking about gratitude, there are all kinds of Bible verses about gratitude. Ephesians 5:20. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For everything. Everything doesn't mean just the good stuff. It means the good stuff, the bad stuff, the stuff that really sometimes doesn't even strike you. It's everything. Now, you don't become the person, in the old days, some of the Pharisees would stop with every morsel of every bite of food and say a prayer. God is not looking for that. That's almost too showy a piety. What is God looking for? God is looking for you to give thanks for the food and the provisions he is for the money he has given to buy the food. Now, of course, we don't grow much of our own food anymore. Some of us do. But God has provided in our economy for us to be able to get the things that we need and want. And that's something to be grateful for. So always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20. 1 Samuel 12:24. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Why would you start out a passage that's about gratitude? Why would you start out with that passage about gratitude? Be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. So, this fear thing. Should we fear the Lord? Well, obviously we should. Why? Because he can take any action that's in his mind to do. We can't stop it. He is all powerful. We are not. Now, what does that mean? What that means is God does not want us to sit around and tremble about him. He wants us to respect him, and he does want us to fear him. Why? Because when we fear, we obey. The bottom line, when we fear the Lord, we obey, but he doesn't sit around and plot to do things to us to make us fear him. Very often, now again, the case of Job, what did Job do to deserve the things that happened to him? Nothing. Job did nothing. Job did everything the right way. So, what happens sometimes, do we get punished by God for doing things the wrong way? And the answer is, of course we do. But bad things do not necessarily happen to us because we're being punished. It happens because God has a larger plan, and we are a piece in a puzzle. We tend to atomize ourselves. In other words, atomize, to break it down into me at the center and everything else going on around me about me. It's a narcissistic way of thinking about how the world works. That's not the way the world works. God has a plan. It's a complex plan. It involves the entire universe. It may not seem like it, but everything you see out there in the universe, and we're in the middle of seeing our universe expand and be much larger than we thought it was. It's a very humbling experience, and it's difficult to see how an astronomer could go through that experience and not see that there's a God out there, and that a number of them are sort of, this is completely shaking up our very comfortable world and making us understand that we don't understand ever anything. This is the fear and respect of the Lord beginning to grow, although I'm sure that most of these people would, no, we just need to ruminate on this and then we'll completely understand it. All you got to do is listen to a guy like Neil deGrasse Tyson, who basically, Richard Dawkins, or some of these guys who are, you know, there is no God, and if you think so, you're insane. And now deGrasse Tyson isn't that outspoken about it, but the fact is that before you can really consider what great things he has done for you, you have to be sure to fear him and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Serving him faithfully with all your heart can mean in any endeavor. And early people in science, early people who originally were scientists, did just that. They did it to the glory of God. They wanted to understand God's world and how it worked. Now we have a different attitude is taken in, that science and theology cannot mix. Well, folks, in the old university setup, theology was called what? The queen of the sciences. Why is it a science? Why is theology a science? Because we want to understand how God interacts with us, with our world, with our universe. We want to know how it all works. That's why it's science. That's what science is. You can hear all this stuff about what science is, what it isn't, but we need to be grateful that God has given us the curiosity to find out these things. All right, Matthew 13:16. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Who makes you able, and I don't mean just necessarily physically seeing and hearing. I mean understanding. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. What's being talked about here? The knowledge of Christ as the Lord and the Savior. That's what it means. And that's what we need to be grateful for. We need to look at God and say, Lord, though you slay me, I will praise you. And that's a hard thing to do. But of course, now we're out of time. And I'm grateful that you're tuned in today, and I would like to hear from you. Www.principledpolicy.com. That's principledpolicy.com. Yes, you can send me an email from there. Send it to chairman@principledpolicy.com. That's chairman@principledpolicy.com. And you know what I think, and I want to know what you think. And if you go to that address, www.principledpolicy.com, and send me an email. I would be happy to respond to it on the air. All right. That being said, I would ask that you join us again next week for another Principles and Policies.